Did you know you can save up to 70% on the best brands just by shopping at FromRebel.com? We're talking about strollers, car seats, high chairs, espresso machines, cookware, everything you need for way less. Here's how it works. Every single day, Rebel drops thousands of new products on the site for up to 70% off. It is a constant stream of endless deals from top brands like Upa Baby, Nuna, Baby Bjorn, Breville, Nespresso, KitchenAid, Le Creuset, and more. But you have to act fast because every deal is one of a kind. So if you see something you love, make sure you add to cart fast. So stop paying full price when you don't have to. Whether it's baby gear, kitchen upgrades, or a treasure for your home you didn't know you needed, Rebel has it for way less, up to 70% less. Shop from Rebel.com and save big.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us today. And a very big thank you to Andy Hoosier for filling in yesterday, our great affiliate there in Wichita, Kansas, the Big Talker KQAM, and yesterday had the opportunity to visit with President Trump as well as the Attorney General Pam Bondi, also our War Secretary Pete Hegseth. I'll give you the lowdown on that. I'll spill the tea on that in just a little while. But it was great to have the president in Memphis for really an incredible celebration. And it ought to be a celebration. This president has been able to come in and take the deadliest city in America and make it one of the safest cities in America. And he did so, not even, six, 7 months. So thank you, Mr. President. And, of course, the president holding a big round table there at the Tennessee National Guard Armory. That's over near the airport. And I have to tell you, it was really something else to watch Air Force One flying into Memphis International Airport. Of course, Memphis also the world headquarters for FedEx. And to see Air Force One by all of those FedEx jetliners, it really was something to behold yesterday. There were, I would say, maybe, I'm bad with numbers, maybe about 1,000 or so people there. Most of them members of the Memphis Safe Task Force, a lot of National Guard troops there. And let me tell you something. They love this president, and they just really, really gave him a warm welcome to Memphis as the president, sort of on a victory tour. By the way, the president also got to drop by Graceland and got a private tour. Never in my life did I expect to see the president of the United States in the jungle room at Graceland, but that's exactly what happened. So anyway, great to see the president yesterday. He is in good spirits. He's in a great mood, and I think really fired up for the task at hand. And there are a lot of things happening around the country. By the way, I want you to write down our telephone number. You're going to need this if you plan on calling into the program today. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Now, before we get into the big story over these 9/11 memorials that are being desecrated, I've got some intel to share with you from our friends over at Just the News. Now, we're moving into a very interesting period of time in our country, and let me explain what's going on. There are a lot of moving parts here, and I know a lot of you are very concerned about the war in Iran, where all of that is going, the president backing away yesterday. The president had given a deadline for the Iranians to reopen the Strait of Hormuz. By the way, Dylan, there's a very clever meme on how to pronounce the phrase Hormuz. It involves a moose and a former vice president of these great United States. That's all I'm going to say. But I did chuckle. I chuckled just a smidge. So the president backed away from all of that, and now I think he's given them, 5 days. They're having all these back channel talks and whatever they very well may be. Look, I'm not in the room. I don't know. So I'm going to take my president's word at it. But here's the deal. Iran said, if you come after our electrical grid, we're coming after your water. Talking about the water, all of these water plants in the Middle East, I think 90% of the water they get come from these treatment plants. And if those get bombed, then you've got a massive disaster on your hands. And something tells me that we haven't, yes, we've obliterated Iran, but we haven't completely obliterated Iran. And therefore, there's some concern here that Iran may have the resources necessary to carry out those kinds of attacks. But a lot of folks now are wondering, okay, what exactly, what is the mission over there, right? I mean, if you sit back and you just kind of ask, so are we doing like regime change, or are we just using up a lot of our missiles? Are we giving the Air Force some flying hours? What exactly are we doing over there, and is it working, I think, is the other question. So just a lot of people have questions about this. Now, look, the polling data shows that the MAGA base, at least the polling data that's out there so far, shows that everybody is behind Trump on this, 100% according to one poll. And that may be the case, but people certainly have a lot of questions about how all of this is playing out. Now, the other part of this, we've got the elections coming up. And everything that is about to happen, you just need to understand this, everything that is about to happen, all the compromises that are about to happen are because the Republicans fear that they are going to lose, and they are going to lose bigly in the midterms. Now, I would contend that if the Republicans just do as they said they would do when we gave them our votes, then they would be just fine. But there are just a lot of shenanigans going on, and we're going to try to talk about it. There's so many shenanigans, we can't even talk about all of them on today's show. But anyway, this is the headline from Just the News. Senate Republicans say President Trump is reportedly prepared to compromise with Democrats to reopen the Department of Homeland Security. The DHS shut down over a partisan funding dispute. The president indicated during a two-hour meeting at the White House, this all happened Monday night after he got back from Memphis, a willingness to make a deal to reopen without fully funding Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Now, GOP senators came out of that meeting, and they immediately leaked all of the details to the Hill newspaper. Congress has agreed to spending bills over the past several months to keep the federal government fully operational, except for DHS. Senate Democrats are withholding their votes to fully fund the agency until reforms are made to immigration enforcement tactics. A Senate Republican source said Trump is now willing to separate funding for enforcement and removal operations to get enough Democrat support. Per the proposal, Senate Republicans would pass additional monies for ICE's removal operations under the budget reconciliation process. Senate Republicans also told Trump they would attempt to pass elements of the SAVE Act in the follow-up reconciliation bill. Katie Britt, the Senate, she's the chairwoman of the Homeland Security Appropriations Subcommittee. She told reporters that Republicans believe they have a path to ending the shutdown, which is right now in day 39. The president yesterday in Memphis said the SAVE Act and DHS appropriations bill should be combined into one large bill. The president said, we want voter ID. We want proof of citizenship as part of our funding. We want to merge them so we can get the great, big, beautiful bill in action. I guess we're getting ready to do another big, beautiful bill here. So look, here's the deal, folks. Now, if we can somehow incorporate all of this into the Save America Act and get that through the door, then okay, that's a pretty good deal. But that's not going to happen. The Democrats are not going to allow that to happen. So here's what I predict is going to happen. Nothing. The Senate is going to, the Republicans are going to cave. They're going to relent, and they're going to make some sort of a deal with the Democrats here on the ICE, on the DHS funding, and they're still not going to do anything when it comes to the Save America Act. Now, let me just say this. It's a bad move. It is an incredibly bad move. The Republicans, what they ought to be doing is they ought to be outside literally every single airport in America with voter registration cards. And they ought to be handing those to all of the people. I mean, they're standing out of the garages of these airports. Give them voter registration cards and explain to them that the reason why they're going to be 4 hours in a line to get to spring break is because of the policies of the Democrats. But we haven't done any of that. Nobody's done anything. It's really overwhelming to me that the Republicans continue to miss these opportunities to say the Democrats are the ones who hate you. The Democrats are the ones that want to make you suffer, because that's what's going on here. As a matter of fact, Senator Chris Murphy actually said the quiet part out loud.
The negotiation didn't have a path to citizenship. It was entirely on their terms in order to get Ukraine funding, right?
Well, I mean, Chris, that's been a failed play for 20 years. So right. You are right that that has been the Democratic strategy for 30 years, maybe. And it has failed to deliver for the people we care about most, the undocumented Americans that are in this country.
And there you go. The people we care about most are the undocumented migrants. So that would be the illegal aliens. That is Senator Chris Murphy, the Democrat, telling you what this is really all about. They don't care about you. They don't care. All of you black folks, they don't care about you. The Democrat Party doesn't care about you. They want you chained to the plantation, working their fields. Asian Americans, Democrats don't care about you. Hispanics, they don't care about you. All they care about are the illegal aliens. And they're on the record. This was not some sort of a foot-in-mouth moment. They're actually bold enough now to say the quiet part out loud. They literally hate you, America. That's why they want to bring in new people. They want to bring in the illegals. And that's what they've done. All right, we've got a lot of ground to cover today, ladies and gentlemen. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Starting off the day with this question, do you want the Republicans to compromise here? Do you want your president to strike a deal with the Democrats that would not fund Immigration Customs Enforcement officers? 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show. Hey, everybody. Todd Stearns here. And I've got to tell you about my friends at PhD Weight Loss, my very good friends at PhD Weight Loss. I'm down 12 pounds already. And at PhD Weight Loss, they've identified that one thing, and they built a plan that works with your body and not against it. If you call now, they're going to give you 2 free weeks in the program and pay for your food so you can finally see real results without more trial and error. If you're done with the yo-yo dieting and you want clarity, call PhD Weight Loss now and mention Starnes. No more guessing, just answers. Call 864-644-1900 and say, Starnes, you're going to get 2 free weeks. You can't miss out on this, folks. 864-644-1900. Say the word Starnes or visit phdweightloss.com. That's phdweightloss.com. The phone number, one more time, 864-644-1900, and say Starnes. All right, getting reports from really all over the country now where ICE agents have been deployed to at least 14 different airports around the country so far. And what is fascinating about all of this is that the lines went from like 3 to 4 hours. For example, at Hartsfield-Jackson in Atlanta, the lines went 3 to 4 hours all the way down to under an hour as those ICE agents were deployed and getting people through the TSA checkpoints. And I know the media and the Democrats are going bonkers crazy right now. As a matter of fact, there was reporting on CNN. They were afraid that ICE agents were going to start opening fire on airline passengers. It's the most ludicrous thing I've ever heard in my life. But now not only are ICE agents manning the TSA checkpoints, they've also been able to arrest, to apprehend some of these illegal aliens that have been in the country. So well done. Well done, ICE agents. Good for you guys. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. There is an interesting story about Tucker Carlson, and I'm just curious if we have any longtime Tucker Carlson fans out there, and have you changed your opinion of Tucker? You know, certainly has changed his opinions on virtually everything from Israel, from President Trump, to what happened with Charlie Kirk, and now, of course, with Islam. And Tucker Carlson is now suggesting that Islamic societies are more advanced than the West. And coming up at the bottom of the hour, when we come back from that break, we're going to play a longer form clip of what Tucker Carlson had to say. But Tucker is now suggesting that the reason why the Muslims are blowing all of us up is because of colonialism. I want you to take a listen to Cut 5.
And you notice, like, in ISIS or Al-Qaeda, like the Muslim extremists, they're all from, like, collapsed, pathetic societies dominated by colonial powers. They've been degraded, mm-hmm. and that's why they're so angry.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So there's something about being degraded that turns you into a violent nutcase extremist. You're seeing a lot of violent nutcase extremists in our country. Not surprising, because the country's being degraded.
Do you agree or disagree with what Tucker just said there? Now, keep in mind, if you want to go back and you want to talk about colonialism, which the British were heavily engaged in, okay, fine, let's have that conversation. Because when the British did occupy a nation, the well-being of those in the nation actually did improve. When you look at the Commonwealth, the countries that were a part of the British Commonwealth back in the day and to this day, by and large, these countries improved as a result of their relationships with the United Kingdom. But Tucker is out there now suggesting that somehow all of us are to blame for all of these Muslims going out there and blowing us up and killing us and beheading us. And the reality is that the Muslims have been doing this for centuries. Go all the way back to the 7th century. Go all the way back. And the problem here is we are not teaching Islamic history. You know, the idea that the Muslims were invited into countries to take over peacefully is simply not true. As a matter of fact, the Islamists have a very long history of invading and conquering nations, going all the way back to at least the 6th or 7th century. Christians and Jews were slaughtered by the Muslims. And by the way, the cultural heritage of those conquered nations was destroyed. And we've seen this play out in real time in places like Afghanistan and Iraq. But look at what's happening here in America, where you had a situation in New York City where Muslim prayer rugs were thrown over a memorial to firefighters who were killed on 9/11. We have a photograph of it at toddstearns.com. I'd encourage you to go and look at it. It will enrage you. And the Muslims were like, oh, don't read anything into this. Really? Because I know exactly what I'm reading into it. In Concord, California, there's a cemetery there, the Memorial Garden Cemetery. The Muslims draped a banner over a 9/11 memorial. And the Muslims said, oopsie, our bad. No, I don't believe it was an oopsie. I don't believe it was an our bad. I believe that the Islamists are sending a message. When Zohran Mamdani is removing all the chairs and throwing out prayer rugs in City Hall in New York City, just a block away from where the World Trade Center towers were blown up by Islamic radicals in the name of the religion of peace, yeah, I got a big problem with that. But I'm telling you, they're sending messages here when they do things like this, when they desecrate a memorial to firefighters or when they desecrate a memorial inside a cemetery. This is not happenstance. This is not some sort of an oopsie moment. I believe these are very intentional acts meant to send a message. Understand this. When you look at and the social media platforms are filled with videos of Muslims taking over public spaces with their prayer rugs and praying. That is not normal in Muslim countries. As a matter of fact, in Muslim countries, doing something like that, ladies and gentlemen, that is considered to be rude, to be offensive. But if you are an invading force, when you do something like that, you are sending a message that the land you are on has been conquered in the name of the Prophet Muhammad. All right, we've got to take a break. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Folks, if you're looking for a romantic comedy that's actually funny, uplifting, and safe to enjoy with your family, well, this is it. Angel Studios has done something special with Solo Mio, a film that proves Hollywood can still tell a great love story without crudeness or compromise. The movie's set in beautiful Italy, stunning scenery that feels like a breath of fresh air. Kevin James delivers big laughs and real heart, and Jonathan Romy brings a surprising and delightful performance that audiences are going to love. In a world filled with nonstop bad news, it's refreshing to sit down and watch a movie that leaves you smiling. This is wholesome entertainment you can feel good about supporting. So right now, when you become a premium member of the Angel Guild, you'll receive 2 free tickets to see Solo Mio in theaters on February 6th. Grab your spouse, your sweetheart, or your family and let's support stories that celebrate humor, hope, and love. Visit angel.com/starns.com today. All right. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Starns Radio Show. So let me give you a lowdown of what happened here. This is just a crazy story. In Concord, California, there's a funeral, a little cemetery out there, and they have a 9/11 memorial. It's called the Memory Garden Cemetery in Concord, California. And families showed up to place flowers on the grave sites of their loved ones, and they realized, holy cow, Muslims had draped a banner over the 9/11 memorial. Take a listen.
The banner advertised an Islamic Garden of Peace.
To see that sign on that memorial was kind of like not good in my thoughts.
The Kimmels are a Blue Star family. Danny's older brother was killed in Vietnam. He says his mother would have been rolling in her grave if she saw the banner.
She wouldn't just roll over. She'd get up and walk.
Danny's sister-in-law agrees. She says they're incredibly patriotic and calls the banner's placement insensitive.
There's room for everybody, but just have a little respect where you're going to put your things.
The owner of the cemetery says he recently sold a portion of the property to an Islamic family who plans to open a memorial garden. He says he gave them permission to put up signage, but did not authorize them to drape it over the 9/11 installation. As soon as he learned about it, he ordered it removed. Workers took it down right after they asked us to leave the cemetery.
I'm glad they took it down, and hopefully they won't be putting anything else up like that.
We talked to another man whose grandfather is buried at Memory Gardens. He says it was especially hurtful as we prepare to mark the 25th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks.
It really caught me off guard, and I just think that's a sacred place for people that are buried there.
He says taking the banner down was the right thing to do.
All right. So the banner is down there. Also, now the fire department in New York City says they meant no disrespect when they desecrated the 9/11 memorial there for firefighters. As a matter of fact, they threw prayer rugs over all of that. So what is going on here? What is going on? Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching, and this is in real time, and it's happening very, very quickly, but we are watching Sharia law being implemented across our nation. Now, it's sort of like the old story about the old adage about the frog and the boiling water and all that kind of stuff. You put the frog in the cold water, and it never realizes that that it's doomed when you slowly increase the heat. Well, that's what's happening to us. Mark Normand He's an actor and a comedian. Are you familiar with Mark Norman, Dylan? How do you?
I do.
Is he a funny guy?
He's pretty funny. He's different than most comedians. He's very blunt about things.
Really? Like, yeah. How so?
I don't know. He just kind of says it how it is. He's not really afraid to offend someone.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that sort of sounds like me.
Yeah, it does.
I'm sort of a blunt guy.
Yes, and you're funny, too.
Well, thank you.
You should do stand-up.
Really? You think so?
You're kind of doing it already. You're just sitting down.
So it could be a sitcom.
You're doing sit-down.
Okay. There you go. So Mark Norman was, I guess he had a Netflix show. Man, I love those comedy specials on Netflix. Those are really funny.
Yeah, they're always pretty good.
Most of them are very inappropriate, but they're very funny.
Yeah.
So anyway, Mark Norman was getting ready for a Netflix show, and I guess he had to submit jokes in advance. I don't know how that process works, but anyway, he had some jokes about Muslims, and Netflix said, Nelly, you can't be telling those jokes. We don't want to get blown to smithereens. You can't be telling those jokes. Take a listen.
So it's coming out. So Hulu sent me about a week ago or 2 weeks ago. They said, send us a couple jokes you like. We'll chop them up and use that as promo on social media.
Chop them up and feed them to the poor?
You two-faced lace Irish curtain.
Yeah,
all right. Remember. So I go, oh, no problem. I like this joke. I like this joke. I like this joke. And I said, great. They come back in a week. They go, we got to do a conference call. And I go, oh, that's not good. I hate a conference call. There's 18 Jews on there with a speakerphone and my Jews. And they go, well, yeah, we got some bad news there. We reviewed the special again. We'd like to take out the Muslim joke. I got a big joke about Muslims. And I go, oh, why? And they go, well, last time a comic did a Muslim joke, we got bomb threats, we got death threats. They said they were going to kill us. They ruined the whole studio, blow the place up to smithereens. So we'd like to not use the Muslim joke.
Smithereens.
And I go, well, I like the joke. It kills. It's a hot joke. And, you know, no one touches Muzz.
I like the idea of, like, Islamic extremists using smithereens. Right. We blow you up to smithereens.
Hey, you never know. It's a common term.
Smithereens is funny.
They, you know, Charlie Hebdo got smithereened.
I'd love to know the origin of smithereens. But that's funny. The idea of smithereens being in the letter is very good.
Yeah, where did that got to be a Bugs Bunny line or something. Smithereens. Get that on the back burner there, yeah, Fetty.
That's good stuff.
All right,
so they got to blow it up to smithereens.
So I'm on the call like, oh, I thought this was going to be like we're cutting your money. We're taking the special down. We don't like you. Don't. Stop writing us letters. But they're like, we want to take out the Muslim joke. And they're very cool.
The whole special, not just the clip?
Well, that's what I thought. So I was like, I've got to fight for the joke here, folks. You approved it. Now you're going back. And they're like, well, okay, we'll keep it in the hour, but we got to get it off socials. And I said, why? What's the difference? And they go, well, socials is where all the shit starts.
Right.
You go put it on the internet, that's where the fire kicks up.
Yeah.
The pile on, the retweets, the sharing. You can't comment on a TV screen, you know?
Right.
So they're like, well, we got to take it off. So that's a no-brainer. And I was like, okay. I don't love it, but okay. I will take it off on one condition. And they said, all right, what do you want to hear? What do you want? And I go, I want you to admit on this call that there are dangerous people.
Oh, jeez.
And they were like, what? No. What are you, crazy? And I'm like, you got to admit it. Or I'm keeping it, or I'm posting it.
Wow.
And they were like, I mean, I'm half joking, but they were like, you could hear like a in the back, like a horse was walking through. And I was like, that's all I need. And they go, well, we're not going to do that. And I'm like, why not? They go, well, that's offensive. And I go, that's what the call is. You're calling about this, and I just need you to say it out loud. You
right.
know me. I need acknowledgement, Jerry.
I like acknowledgement. Everyone wants acknowledgement.
But it's kind of a microcosm of the whole thing of like, you can say, hey, I love this group, but then you don't live near them.
Right.
You know, we're all talk. We're all signaling. We're all virtuous, but you don't actually act that way.
Right.
And I think this is a perfect example of that. Hey, we're scared. Hey, we don't get head bowed. We're nervous. Okay, well, why are you nervous? Well, you come on, shut up.
Right.
So
yeah.
That's what I was getting at. So they admitted it.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, yeah, he is pretty blunt.
They call him Muzz. That the Muslims.
The Muzz.
You know, I want to know what the joke is. The question is, though, should we play it?
Mm.
That's the question.
That's a good question. Right,
I don't want to get blown up.
Yeah.
No, in all seriousness, just think about this for a moment. There was a video a couple of weeks ago, and there were people on a subway car, and somebody, just a Muslim guy, storms in and starts chanting, I don't know, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar. And guess what happened? Everybody took off. I mean, they were getting out of Dodge. Dylan, why do you think that was? Do you think it was because, I don't know, body odor? No, I don't think so. You think it was because that just happened to be their stop on the subway? I don't think so. You know what I think it is, Dylan? I don't think they wanted to get blown up.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just me. I mean, let's just say, for example, that, I don't know, a Jewish guy walks onto the subway car. They're at Times Square, 42nd Street. And the Jewish guy walks in, and the subway car opens up, and the guy walks in. The Jewish guy walks in. And he goes, Oy vey, shalom. And what are people going to do? They're like, shalom back at you, pal. Or what if somebody, a Christian, walks into the subway car and says, praise the Lord. And somebody might even say, amen, or hallelujah, or something. But if you see somebody walking in a head covering, wearing, I don't know, a nightgown, and saying, Allah Akbar, you're getting out of there. I'm just telling you. And so why is that? Because nobody wants to talk about this, which is why we do. But we got big problems in this country. Because hear me, and I'm just going to predict what's going to happen. I predict that the Muslims are going to basically outbreed all of you Protestants and all of you Catholics and all of you Jews. And it's not even a matter of people being proselytized. This is all just a matter of numbers of babies being born in America. The UK's already been through all of this. And we are going to get to a point that they've gotten to in the UK. And the reason why they're shutting down the street preachers and they're shutting down people that are waving the British flag and they're shutting down all of the social media traffic, the reason why they're throwing all of the good Christian people in the UK in jail and silencing them is because they are terrified. The British government is terrified because they don't want to be blown up. That's what's going on. And by the way, when you see what's happening in the UK, this is what Sharia looks like. And it used to be Sharia light. Now I think it's just good old-fashioned Sharia. And now I think they're going to be heading into Sharia plus. And what happens under Sharia plus? Well, that's when they do start killing all of you people who refuse to convert to Islam. Now, some of the Islamic countries, they actually allow Christians to practice their faith, but they're not allowed to do it in public. They have to do it in private, inside the privacy of their homes. They're not allowed to practice their faith out there in the public marketplace. Not allowed to do that. I predict that's going to happen here. Because right now, I know up on Capitol Hill, they've launched the Sharia-free caucus, over 50 members of Congress now joining that caucus, or caucus. I'm going to make a bold prediction. I think we surrender. I don't think the American people have the nerve to stand up and fight back against the Islamists, especially when you look at the Christian church in America. I mean, what's a polite way to say this? It's like Protestant churches in America have gone limp-wristed. I mean, I think maybe the Catholics, this new iteration of the Catholics, would fight back, but I don't think the average, you know, Baptist church with their coffee bar and American Idol cover band, I don't see them standing up to the Islamist, right? Do you? I may be reading this wrong, but I only say that because we gave up the right to go to church during the China virus pandemic. So if you've got people out there threatening to stab your pastor or blow up your church, I think you go underground. I don't see this being fixed or remedied, because when the Islamists take over, you're done. You are literally done. There was some audio that, and we'll get to this. It was maybe a year ago when some guy, Christian white guy in Dearborn, Michigan, went to city council and said, you know, I got a problem naming the street after somebody who supports terrorism. And the Islamic mayor, the Muslim mayor, said, people like you are no longer welcome here in this town, in this community. That's what we're dealing with. And I'm just telling you, I don't see us fixing this. I don't see us having the courage to fix this. Look at what's happening in Texas right now. Nobody's standing up, and literally Texas is being overrun right now with the Islamists. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. I hope I'm wrong. I really hope I'm wrong. We'll be right back.
The Bleacher Report app is your destination for sports. Right now, the NBA is heating up, March Madness is here, and MLB is almost back. Every day there's a new headline, a new highlight, a new moment you've got to see for yourself. That's why I stay locked in with the Bleacher Report app. For me, it's about staying connected to my sports. I can follow the teams I care about, get real-time scores, breaking news, and highlights all in one place. Download the Bleacher Report app today so you never miss a moment.
All right, coming up tonight, by the way, 5 o'clock on Newsmax, Glenn Beck is going to be joining us. We're going to have a wild conversation about Islam. You're going to want to tune in for that, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax 2. Let's go to the phone lines. Mike in Texas, listening to us on Patriot Talk 920. Mike, what's on your mind today?
Oh, hello. I just wanted to piggyback on what you were talking about. I mean, it fired me up because I've been saying it for a while now. You're not going to stop the Islamification of Texas or America because it's the fulfillment of end time prophecy. It started with Genesis 16:12, and it will culminate with Revelation 24 because it all goes back to Ishmael and Isaac.
We don't need a sermon here, Mike, because we don't have a lot of time here. But you're telling me there's literally nothing that we can do in America to stop the Islamic takeover?
Not when it's the fulfillment of end-time prophecy. And I have a question for you. So many Christians believe in the rapture and the second coming and look forward to that, but so few of us believe that we could be the people on planet Earth alive at the time when all that happened.
So you believe that the persecution, that Americans will be persecuted at the hand of the Islamist?
Those that are not raptured out, yes.
Okay. All right. Well,
if you look at Revelation 20, verse 4, it talks about the people who don't take the mark, they're beheaded. What group on earth right now that's their favorite means of execution, other than the Muslims? That's what they do, is behead people.
All right, Mike, got to leave it there. Thank you for the call. Yeah, that was somewhat depressing. But again, I just think the church in America is squishy right now. I mean, there was a time when your pastor, I mean, look, go back and just think about this. Go back to the 1950s, 60s, and I think it was starting to wane a little bit in the 70s and 80s. But the most prominent people in your communities, the people that you respected, your principal of your local school or your minister, the local police officer, there is zero respect for any of those positions now. Small towns, big towns, big cities, people just, they don't have as much respect as they used to. And maybe a lot of that is on the fault of the preachers. Maybe that's the problem. You know, the preachers these days are more apt to give you a 4-point self-help sermon than they are actually, you know, girding you for the fight ahead. Anyway, we'll talk more about that later in the show. 901-260-5926. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to be talking about this crazy story out of Chicago. Loyola University student, a young lady, beautiful young lady, and she was murdered by an illegal alien, and the mayor of Chicago is defending the illegal. A city council person is actually suggesting that the victim was just at the wrong place at the wrong time and that she might have actually startled the illegal. You can't make this up. So we've got all of this audio. We're going to be jumping into that big story coming up next as well. 901-260-5926. That is our telephone number. Our website, by the way, I want you to go and read our story. Look at the prayer rugs and the desecration. We've got that for you at toddstearns.com. All right, hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back.
The sun's shining, birds are singing, and all feels right in the world.
Until the season changes, and suddenly you lose your motivation to get out of bed. In fact, 1 in 5 people experience some form of depression, no matter the season or time of year.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all, because we want you to live your best life and be your best you all year round.
Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.
Live from the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Yeah, normally I do not complain about how I am portrayed by the far left media. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. But Dylan, I'm telling you, I'm a little fired up right now over how the local media folk in Memphis, Tennessee, have been portraying yours truly.
They love you, don't they?
They do not love me, and if they do, they're showing it in a very weird way.
I'm very shocked by this, actually.
Nothing more. And by the way, the media coverage, you know what, before we go any further, I want to bring our good friend, the great Republican strategist, Josh Jones, into the conversation. Josh, I hope you're having a better day than I'm having right now.
So far, so good. I mean, I'm interested to hear what the media has been saying about you.
Yeah. So anyway, we had President Trump in town yesterday. By the way, Josh, they took him on the same tour of Graceland that we took you on.
I saw that. I saw the pictures yesterday. I was like, oh my God, I was there like 2 months ago or whatever that was recently. So good to know that if it's good enough for the president, definitely good enough for me.
Well, exactly. However, they let him actually sit down in the jungle room. We were only allowed to observe the jungle room.
Next time.
So anyway, so the Commercial Appeal, which is run by Gannett, which is they own USA Today and a lot of other failing newspapers around the country, they dispatched their local Memphis reporter, a gal by the name of Brooke Muckerman. What an unfortunate last name. But Muckerman was on the job yesterday, and she was detailing exactly who was responsible for President Trump sending the National Guard to Memphis. And, of course, it happened to be yours truly, Josh, and I take great pride in that. And we were the only people that actually had the courage to ask the president the question, will you do something about the crime in Memphis? And now, of course, that has been a great success. Everybody and their brothers taking full credit for it, including the governor of Tennessee, who was staunchly opposed to sending the National Guard. But I digress. So Muckerman in the Commercial Appeal says this: Todd Starnes, a controversial conservative fixture. What does that mean? You know, here's the deal. I'm a 2-time Murrow Award-winning journalist. I've won the Associated Press Mark Twain Storytelling Award. I've got awards out the wazoo. I'm a small business owner, but all of a sudden I can only be relegated to a controversial conservative fixture in Memphis, Tennessee.
I mean, yeah, it sounds like I'm having maybe a little bit more of a better day. But to your point, hopefully nobody's reading it.
So. Well, there you go. And nobody does read it. But anyway, exactly. Thank you, Brooke Muckerman, for your analysis there of the situation in Memphis, Tennessee. Josh, a lot of political news happening, and there's a lot of just, I don't know, it just feels weird right now. I'm not sure anybody has a good peg on what's going to happen in 2026. Now we're getting word that Trump may compromise with the Democrats to reopen the TSA and get everybody paid. What is the mood out there? What is the vibe? I know you represent a lot of candidates. What are you feeling out there?
Look, I think you see it's different across the country, you know, from Texas, whether you're in Texas or in Virginia. I mean, in Virginia right now, we have this whole redistricting battle. Texas, you still have this competitive primary for the Senate seat going on down there. So I think we're seeing like different levels of enthusiasm for Republican voters across the country right now. And that's going to be the big determining factor when we get to November of can the Democrats get their people to the polls. As of right now, the signs are pointing to yes, because for better or for worse, their motivating factor is this is their chance to stand up against President Trump in their mind. So they're going to come out to vote and make their voices heard that way. Republicans need a reason to come out to vote in November. So I hope Congress and the president are focused on delivering over the next 6 months, roughly, delivering some flagship legislation or, you know, policy agenda that the president set out in a second term to really drive these Republican voters to the polls. Otherwise, we could be facing a, you know, pretty dire situation in November.
We've been dealing with the situation across Tennessee, and I'm curious if other state Republican parties have been dealing with this, where there's a big battle over bona fides. Who exactly is a bona fide Republican? In one instance, an incumbent Republican judge was declared not bona fide because I guess he missed a primary vote or something. Or now there's actually rumblings in Tennessee that if you speak ill of another Republican, then you could be disqualified from serving on any state executive committees. And I get that. You know, Reagan's 11th commandment, don't speak ill of, you know, your fellow Republicans, at least in public. But the reality is that the, I mean, that I don't see that actually growing and expanding the Republican base when there's so much warfare happening.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, to your point, Reagan said, Leavitt commanded, you know, don't go after your fellow Republicans. But that doesn't mean never go after a fellow Republican. I think it's also too, it speaks to the fact that Republicans should be a big tent party. There's a lot of different opinions within the party. I mean, you have a very, you know, isolationist wing of the party who doesn't want intervention, and then you have the other side of the party, your more traditional conservatives who are pro-intervention. Like, look, both camps are fine. They're welcome to their opinions. But it's a testament that differing opinions can exist under the same banner. And I think a lot of Republicans have lost that, unfortunately, at least a lot of the different state committees across the country, where it's you're either with us 100% of the time or you're not with us at all. And that's not how you build a winning coalition. Look, someone I agree with 80% of the time is better than someone I agree with 20% of the time. And I think that's the mindset that a lot of Republicans need to be taking into the midterms, particularly President Trump will not be on the ballot in November or ever again for that matter. So moving forward with the MAGA movement, we have to be a big tent party and have these differing opinions. And look, that's the whole point of it in a primary. People act like primaries are the worst things ever and people shouldn't run against each other. No, that's our chance to voice our differences internally within the party. But the key point of that is once we have the nominee, we have to rally around that person. So differing opinions are good. Primaries are good. But once we have that nominee, that's when everybody needs to lock in and support that person.
You know, that is a great point you raise. And there's a situation in Memphis where you had two black men that were wanting to run for the Republican nod to be the county mayor in Memphis, Tennessee. That's a big job. And I thought it was going to be a pretty fascinating primary battle between Judge Joe Brown and this great civil rights leader, John DeBerry. And yet the state stepped in and said, no, Judge Joe Brown is not a bona fide, so therefore he cannot run in the race. Well, it turned out neither was the other guy. But for whatever reason, they liked the other guy, so they kept him, and they gave Judge Joe Brown the heave-ho. But the reality is, I think that would have energized the base, Josh, because right now you've got five or six or maybe seven Democrats running for the mayor. They're having town halls, you know, once, twice a week. They're doing debates. There's all of this excitement and enthusiasm on the Democrat side, but none on the Republican side.
Yep. No, it's a real problem. I mean, primaries, even if they get a little messy sometimes, because it's politics, it's going to happen, but it drives enthusiasm. And I mean, the risk you run is you have to keep the coalition together after that primary election or convention or whatever the nominating process is happens. But I mean, a lot of people, I mean, to your point in this story, I wasn't aware of, but like, you know, you had the state party, I assume, or a state committee coming in and saying, no, we don't need a primary because this person doesn't, you know, check X, Y, Z boxes. Well, that's really for the voters to decide, not necessarily, you know, some overlord state committee or, you know, whatever it may be. So I think it's a large issue we're seeing across the country right now. Luckily, at least in a lot of states, we're past the primary season or we're kind of in the middle of it right now. But no, I mean, I think primaries can be a good thing so long as you can keep that coalition together afterwards.
Real quick, Johns, before we let you go, I know there's been a lot of talk about what's going to happen with redistricting in Virginia. And it certainly appears that the Republicans are getting fired up. Do you think mm-hmm. that they're going to be able to put down that attempt to actually erase Republican representation in Congress?
Look, I'm optimistic that Republicans, you know, are mobilizing the voters, are paying attention and getting out the vote. If you look at the early voting numbers as it relates to the governor's election we had last November, Republicans are really turning out. I mean, some more so even than last November where we had a governor's election, whereas Democrat localities aren't really turning out so far. So we'll see what happens. The thing we have working against us here is the national Democratic apparatus is involved. I mean, you have Obama cutting ads, the governor, obviously, Governor Spanberger is getting involved, along with a bunch of other national figures. And you don't really see that happening on the Republican side, unfortunately. So we'll see how this plays out. But if you're in Virginia, you have to go vote no on this referendum to keep Republican representation in Congress.
And that's the thing. The way it is written, you would think Republicans would want to vote yes. But that's, again, that's yep. the strategy of the Democrats here. It is a no vote on this legislation.
That's right. It's very Orwellian. If you read the language they put on the ballot, they're intentionally trying to mislead voters. I mean, it's the most blatant power grab I've seen. I mean, granted, relatively short life, all things considered, I guess, but it's the most blatant power grab I've seen in politics in a very long time.
Wow. All right, Josh, good to see you. And by the way, is that your office? It looks really fancy.
It is.
All right. Wow. I'm going to have to get you to go and design my office for me. Jeez,
yeah, just let me know. I'm happy to do it.
All right. Josh Jones, by the way, joining us on video. If you're watching us on YouTube, Facebook, or Rumble, and we have a huge audience there. So, Josh, always good to see you. And we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Todd.
All right. The great Josh Jones, ladies and gentlemen. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up, we've got a little problem here with a great business that's being boycotted. And we're going to tell you all about that coming up in just a matter of moments. But right now, I want to encourage you to check out the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax tonight. That's 5 o'clock Eastern. Senator Marsha Blackburn, Glenn Beck, among some of our very special guests, Mary Walter and Kim Smythe Hill, our hot Republican babe panel. You're going to love it. We're going to have a lot of fun tonight. By the way, speaking of that, Social Security benefits, that has been a key issue for Newsmax of late. And our Social Security expert, a guy by the name of Michael Allen, says that there are 5 key strategies to increase your benefits. It's all in his special report, and I want you to get a free copy of this special report. Are you ready for this? Your Social Security benefits could increase as much as $188,000 over a lifetime. Call 800-999-9690. That's 800-999-9690. Text and data rates may apply. All right. Good to have you with us, everybody. No, I want to go back to this whole Republican thing. There's just a lot of fighting at the local and state and national. Well, by the way, the National Republican Party is, they're DOA. I mean, nobody's getting any help from the RNC these days. I don't know what that is all about. But within the local Republican parties, you've got this infighting, and people are b-wording and moaning all over the place about the true conservatives and the grassroots people. As a matter of fact, but at the end of the day, it's really not about that. It's about the establishment. And I cannot tell you where this happened. I wish I could. I wish I could tell you where this happened. But there were some Republicans, and they wanted to give donors a gift. So they got them the beautiful White House Christmas ornament. I gave those out as gifts this past year, and people loved it. Dylan, I gave you guys one.
I'd love that ornament.
Isn't it a great ornament?
It's amazing.
It's very nice. I gave one for the whole staff.
Yes.
So anyway, so they decided to give out these as gifts, and the person said, "Oh, why don't we wrap this?" And they had Trump Christmas wrapping paper. I thought that would have been very clever. And they said, "No, we don't need to be doing that. We need to be moving on from Donald Trump." No, you know what that tells me? That is a liberal alert right there, ladies and gentlemen. That's what that's all about. Liberal alert, liberal alert. That's what's going on there. You're telling me you're not going to wrap a Christmas ornament in Donald Trump's face? What's wrong with you, you communist? I'm just saying. So anyway, we're having this big hullabaloo in Memphis over the county mayor. And of course, crime is still a huge issue here. So I want to read this to you. This is what I wrote. It caused a lot of controversy locally, and everybody's calling me a racist, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this. So over the weekend, you had a horrible situation. You had two people shot in separate shootings on Beale Street. You had this mob of, they say, between 50 and 200, so you can figure it out. But there was a huge mob of teenagers, and they were rampaging and fighting. They were fighting with National Guard troops. They were fighting with Memphis police officers. I mean, it was all you know what was breaking loose. It's unbelievable. So anyway, I said, you know what? Enough is enough. We need to talk about this. And I wrote a little blurb here, and I'm calling it up. Here we go. And this is what I had to say, because everybody's afraid to say what needs to be said about this nonsense. And if we're not willing to talk about it, we're not going to ever be able to fix what is broken in our city. And as soon as I can find the blasted thing, I'll read it. I don't know why I'm having such a hard time finding stuff today. But the gist of it is this, and it's a very simple thing, is that we have got to be willing to speak truth to power. Now is not the time for platitudes, because platitudes get you nowhere. And that's a big problem, and especially in the Republican Party. Donald Trump, he speaks truth to power. And when he does that, things get done. And I was really hoping that, you know, the Republicans would learn something. And so here's what I wrote. The lawlessness that we are seeing happen across Memphis is caused overwhelmingly by one demographic, black teenagers. On Beale Street, there were at least two separate shootings. A mob of black teens caused mayhem in the $60 million Tom Lee Park before heading back to Beale Street. Business owners tell me there were fights and stampedes all over downtown. Several businesses had to shut down their establishments early because of the violence. The black preachers, black business leaders, and black elected officials need to have a come-to-Jesus conversation about the citizens or with the citizens of Memphis. Enforce the curfew. Arrest parents who allow their children to break curfew. God only knows how much worse last night could have been without the Memphis Safe Task Force. We don't need any more community centers or athletic fields or basketball courts. We need moms and dads to step up and start parenting. And we would be happy to supply hickory switches and or belts. And we need a district attorney's office that will fight crime instead of treating the criminals like victims. The time for dancing around the issue with politically correct jargon is over. And so that was my take on it, and now people are accusing me of being a racist. I'm not a racist. If we had a bunch of white folks out there, or Hispanic folks, or Asian American folks, you better believe I would be saying the same thing. But we've got to start speaking truth about what's really going on in this country. All right, got to take a break. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Todd, I just want to shout out that you are very much loved. And most important, you are loved by God. And that's all that matters first in life before we leave this world. I love you and thank you and thank you, Jesus. Have a blessed day. Amen. In Jesus' name, the name above every name, greater is he that's in us.
Oh, well, amen. Well, thank you for that, Roberta from Georgetown, Texas, leaving us this lovely shout out. And you can do that if you download our free app over at toddstearns.com. But you see, Dylan, when you're listening to that, you smile. Isn't that nice? Isn't that friendly? I mean, if Roberta would have called up and said, Allah Akbar, I would have been under the desk. I'm just saying.
That was very nice from Roberta.
It was very kind. Very kind. Oh, my God. Sword yoga. Have you heard about this?
This is a first.
Sword yoga is the hot new fitness trend that's turning New York City women into swashbuckling fighters with the help of a double-edged blade. This is the exclusive story from the lifestyle section of the New York Post. Katya is up in arms. The no-nonsense New Yorker is not angry. She's empowered through sword yoga. Is it sword or sword? I call it a sword.
I don't know anyone who says sword.
Sword. It's sort of like raspberry. Now, I believe in pronouncing the P, raspberry. But some people say raspberry.
Yeah.
Sword.
Well, you did live in the North for a while.
It's true. Does anybody actually say sword?
There's no way.
Why is there a W there? If you're not going to use it, why, whoever came up with the word, why did you put a W there?
That's a good point. Yeah.
Makes no sense to me.
Pterodactyl starts with a P, so.
Oh, my God.
English is hard.
I'm sorry. What?
Yeah, it's true.
All right. So anyway, they're using these 30-inch double-edged blades during something called Golden Hour. According to, the woman's name is Saturday. Her last name is Saturday. I'm shocked by this. Miss Saturday says it's a tool of self-expression and freedom. The sword is like a magic wand. That CW there makes sense because wand, because it gives me a sense of graceful power. When I hold it, I feel like a force of femininity, beauty, and strength. Adding the force to be reckoned with. One in the rising army of everyday female dynamos leading the sword yoga fitness charge. So exactly, I see what they're doing. So they're wielding their sword, which I guess it's heavy and that therefore, so it's a fusion of Tai Chi and Kung Fu. Slow breathing paired with vagina, that's not vagina yoga, pardon me, vinyasa yoga. Whoops, I got to get my eyes checked.
Yeah, you do.
That would be painful, I would have to imagine.
I don't even know what that even means.
I don't. Yeah. You got to watch where you put the sword.
Yeah. It sounds like samurai training. Not
God.
Tai Chi.
It's one of those days, and it's not even Monday. That's the problem. May I just say, I was so exhausted. You know, you had to stand. It's a lot of standing up when you're with the president. It's like, you know, you're standing up for 5 or 6 hours, then the event, and then, you know, so I was a little out. So I'm still sort of like getting over yesterday. Anyway, the lady says that sword yoga is a firm foundation for her chronic panic attacks. When I feel an attack coming on, I rely on the training and breathing techniques. I can't believe I misread that word. Pardon me, ladies and gentlemen.
She attacks her panic back. She stabs it.
She also has daggers. Oh, and tell Ian. Wow. Ian would love that. And lightsabers. They have lightsabers.
Wow.
Whoa.
See, lightsaber yoga sounds cool.
Yes. I guess her Schwartz is bigger than my Schwartz. That was a great movie, by the way. Spaceballs.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
The sword yoga enthusiast of 2 years trained with a soup ladle.
I can't.
I just can't. But now she's advanced to an actual blade. She says, I walk around the city feeling like the cool princess in a tower, but in reality, I'm the dragon. That's what she says. This woman scares me. So anyway, I'm curious about this, the trend. Here in Memphis, they do something called goat yoga, and they put these little goats on the backs of people, and they're doing all these like yoga things.
They're like baby goats, in fact, too.
It's a little scary.
It's scary, but it's kind of cute at the same time. I don't understand it.
Yeah, I don't either. Apparently it calms you
to have a baby goat just, you know, pooping and peeing on your back.
Here's the concern I have. I can't believe I'm about to say this. But let's just say that you have a bunch of ladies head to toe dressed in Islamic garb wielding swords in the middle of Times Square. That can be a little disconcerting, right? I shouldn't have said that. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go to the phones. 901-260-5926. Andre in Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Andre, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd, how are you, man?
Well, I'm good. Andre, have you ever heard of this? All these women now are doing sword yoga.
No, that's a new one on me. That's why I listen to your show. I catch a lot of new stuff that's going on in Memphis. And you're pretty good. You're pretty good. I really like your show, but I got to differ with you today, Todd.
That's okay. Go ahead.
You said you're not racist. I think you said something that was racist, but you weren't trying to be. I'm going to tell you what I mean. You said that the black preachers need to talk to the black teenagers in Memphis. I happen to be a pastor here in Memphis, and I'm a pastor that happens to be black. I'm not a black pastor. The Bible doesn't tell me in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that I'm black. No, the Bible tells me that I'm a preacher. And what happens is when we throw, anytime you use race as a denominating factor, you didn't say pastors need to talk to teenagers. You said black pastors. Well, that's racist. It's not negative racist. What you're saying is true, that usually teenagers that are classified as black are going to relate to somebody else that's black. But my congregation has black and white, and we're in the middle of Hyde Park, and it's not because I preach to the black church or the white church. I just preach the gospel.
Well, I'm glad. Look, Pastor, I'm glad you're doing that. But you know what I mean by that, because there are black churches and black pastors, but they are quick to criticize everything and everybody, but they are not addressing a very clear and present issue. You know, in the city, aside from the fact that we have so many homes, so many broken homes. But again, my point is, just because somebody is pointing this out and everybody's dancing around the issue at City Hall and nobody really wants to confront, hey, we've got a problem in this community.
Yeah, I mean, you are 100%, I'm in agreement with you on that. But what I'm saying is, whenever you hear people proclaim we are the black church, that is a racist statement. There is no black church. There's no white church. It's just church. And what happens is they use that divider to put us in a box and stuff, because if a white man or a black man who classifies, I don't proclaim to be black. I tell you, I'm not black. I'm Andre. I live by the theory of the content of my character, not the color of my skin. If I'm not going to live by the color of my skin, I can't keep making reference to my skin. That's all I'm saying.
Well, Pastor, no, that makes perfect sense. I do understand what you're saying there. What is it? Do you want to give your church a shout out? And we have a lot of Memphis
sure.
listeners. What's the name of your church?
I'm at a Revelation Christian Center at 1561 Boxwood in the Hyde Park community. I'm in the middle of an urban neighborhood because years ago I was a criminal, and God told me, you have tear up those streets, you're going to go back and help build up those streets. And I've been doing it for over 25 years. I got a radio talk show, too. Mine is a Christian show, but they call me controversial, too, so don't let that worry you.
Oh, I don't get worried by it. You know, it's every now and again. You know how it is. Every now and again.
Oh, yeah.
You... And it's usually some of the...
You get that with Todd. You're doing a good job. You put out a lot of good information out there, and I enjoy listening to you.
Well, Pastor Andre, thank you for that, and thank you for calling in. And you give us a holler back one of these days. But look, he's right. He's right. And I should have... Let me advance that conversation for just a moment. It is time for churches in general to start talking truth to the culture. And if we're not going to do that, we're not going to fix what's broken here. It's not going to get fixed at City Hall or the White House or Congress. It's going to take the pastors of America. I'm just telling you, that's what it's going to take. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. All right, we're going to take a break. We really did talk about sword yoga. Wow. By the way, how are your brackets doing, Dylan?
Terrible.
Really? The worst. Why are they bad?
Well, I didn't have Tennessee beating Virginia. That's one.
Oh, guess who did?
You, Todd Starnes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Yeah, yes, well, sir.
I don't even think that you can say that because you put Tennessee in the middle, the winner of all things.
I did.
So no matter what happened, you are going to have that.
I know. I felt bad. Normally, I would go with the Baptist school, but Baptists, we're not good at basketball.
Yeah.
I'm just going to tell you, right?
It's okay.
Yeah, right out of the gate. We're not good at basketball.
Yeah.
But anyway, go Big Orange. All right. And speaking of go, we got to take a break. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back, everybody. It is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Happy to have you with us today. Just got a message from one of our KWAM listeners in Memphis, Kelvin. Todd, you a white ass. Oh, can't say that word on the radio. Whoops. Oh, boy. Jeez, hello. Language, people. Language. My word. This story from the New York Post. A McDonald's in a Chinese city welcome humanoid robots to serve meals and entertain customers. Videos posted on social media captured the myriad of lifelike robots at a McDonald's in Shanghai, performing routine tasks typically completed by human workers. Among other things, they greet customers and they deliver food. Diners were seen interacting with the robots dressed in the fast food joint's iconic red and yellow uniforms behind counters, while children chased more of the moving machinery disguised as cute animals. The robots were supplied by a Chinese robotics firm, and they were deployed as part of a trial at the Shanghai McDonald's location. So maybe they're trying them out in China, and if it goes over well, they're going to use them here in America. McDonald's said the robots were only around for 5 days and were meant to plug the grand opening of the Shanghai Science and Technology Museum restaurant. So what do? They fire the robots? How does that work? Kenan Robotics posted an item on social media saying our humanoid robot series are leading the squad and hitting the streets. It's a showcase of how service automation is becoming a seamless part of global dining and how technology brings more smiles to every mealtime. John Banner is the executive VP and global chief impact officer of Mickey D's. And he said the robots were there for a temporary greeting, mission accomplished. The robots were not involved in any service or operational functions. And if you didn't visit prior to today, you missed them. So now a lot of people are wondering, well, wait a second. If it worked out so well, why would you not want to use robots when you don't have to, pay them anything, right? They're like basically slaves? Is that? I mean, if you force somebody to work and you don't pay them a wage and you purchase them, that does seem to fit the clinical definition.
It depends on how humanoid they are.
Oh, that's a good point.
Like, do they know what's happening? Do they know they're being sold?
Oh, that's a good point. Do you break up the robotic families?
Yeah.
I mean, like little robot and like they have a little doggy robot. You watch. There are going to be moral issues that we can't even imagine when it comes to the integrating these robots and these humanoids into the culture.
There's going to be a word for like being racist to a robot.
So. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's called racist.
Is it though?
I don't know.
Do they know?
I don't know. Many of the robots handle the heavy lifting, and where I'm reading from the article here, Many of the robots handle the servants. We'll call them servants. Many of the servants handle the heavy lifting and warehouse work, picking items from tall shelves and moving goods around facilities. Others are advanced enough to help humans sort and package orders. Can you imagine having to work alongside a robot? I don't know about this. Get this. 3/4 of Amazon's global deliveries are now assisted by robots. You know what's going to happen is, so all these people will be on the unemployment line. So at some point, and especially with the rapid developments of AI and this artificial intelligence, you do have to wonder, what are the humans going to be doing? What was the cartoon? There was a movie. It was like an animated movie about a future where the humans just sit around and do nothing.
It's Wall-E.
They're blobs.
Yeah. Disney Pixar's Wall-E.
That's it.
Yeah.
Is that our future?
Hey, we're not far off, it seems.
This troubles me greatly. But again, I mean, if you're in the fast food business especially, and or in the restaurant industry, I mean, and you can use, they did this in the Memphis area. We actually had like one of the Mexican restaurants where they had the little Mexican robots. Well, I think they were Mexican. I'm sorry. That actually could be racist. But they had the little robots. So they had the robots, right? And they came over and they're like, I don't know how a robot talks. Like, buenos dias. And then, man, take your. It's like, that's R dos, tres dos. That's the Mexican R2D2. But they have a. This is terrible. But anyway, no, in all seriousness, they had these little robots at the Mexican restaurant, and they came over and they serve you food. You know, they're very pleasant. I mean, they do their job. You know, they're little robots. And they, I mean, everybody, I guess, I don't know. For me, I would much rather have the human interaction. But some people like the robots.
It depends on how fast, like, the cheese dip comes out. If it's, like, taking a minute, I might have wanted a robot.
Well,
yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
And whatever, yeah. And there is a problem. You order extra ice and they're out the door.
Do you think they want a tip?
Ooh, that's a good question.
What does tipping culture do?
Give an extra squirt of WD-40? I don't know. What do you do? How do you tip a robot?
That might be like the best way to, you know, compliment.
Yeah,
them.
I don't know. For me, I want my servers to be humans. And by servers, I mean, what do I mean?
People that
waitresses,
serve food.
People that prepare food.
They get paid.
They get paid.
They get paid.
A good wage.
Yes.
And they're free. You can go work at Applebee's or Zaxby's. I don't care. Anyway, that's this segment of the show, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know what is going on today. It's just a weird day here on the program. We do have to take a quick break. Coming up, we're going to tell you this horrible story in Chicago. Also, the Sharia Free Caucus is kicking off. We're going to talk to Congressman Mark Harris about that. Also, Congressman Matt Van Epps, he joins us as well. It's going to be a jam-packed hour. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. This is the Todd Stern Show, operated by humans.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show, Hour 3 of the Big Show. We had a... It was just a weird second hour of the program. What can I say? Okay, it was a weird first 2 hours of the program. And we got off on this conversation about McDonald's in China using these humanoid robots to man the little Mickey D's over there. And that got into the conversation about robots in restaurants in general. And that is what led Dan from Pasadena, Texas, to phone in about today. Dan, good to have you with us. What intel can you tell us about these robots in restaurants?
Well, I'll tell you, in general, I have a strong bias or strong preference for dealing with people, with humans. But with robots in restaurants, I can see the value potentially there of avoiding health problems. For example, if you or I went into a restaurant wearing a certain type of cap that had four letters on it and was red, then we would have to be concerned about whether the waitress or the waiter or the cook might add a little something extra to our food, such as spilling it. So I don't think robots are likely to do that.
What happens if the robots are like made by a far-left company? I mean, what happens if the bias is built into the programming, the DNA?
Yeah, that is a good point. And I think there should be some sort of federal regulation. The FDA, perhaps, has to require that robots are not capable of spitting or doing any sort of sabotage like that to meals. But unfortunately, I don't think you can control waiters, waitresses, cooks the same way. And one other thing that brought this up, Jesse Jackson was in the news not long ago, and one of the little items there that was part of his life story, and he said this publicly, apparently, that when he was young, he worked at a restaurant as maybe a waiter or a cook, and when he found out that the customer maybe was a Republican, he would spit in their food. So it's an issue that deserves some recognition and to be dealt with, I believe. And so robots are easier to control than people because robots likely are not going to have emotions and political biases the way people do. So anyway,
what about the female robots? Would they be emotional? Oh, wait a second. I can't ask that question. Rosie. Well, the female robots, would they be emotional? You know.
Well, if they're real females, yes.
Oh, jeez. I'm just saying, my job is to ask questions. That's all my job here is, ladies and gentlemen. Dan, you've given us something to think about, and thank you for the call. So here's the problem, though. I mean, Dylan, let's go back to the Mexican robots here over at, Taco Tuesday. We'll make up the name of the restaurant. Taco Tuesday, they got the little Mexican robots, and they're wearing the little sombreros, and they come to your table, and, you know, you order, I don't know, tacos. All right. So you order some tacos and they bring, and you're wearing a MAGA hat. So you've got the red MAGA hat, and somewhere in the Mexican robot, it's like, warning, MAGA gringo. And so what you do is, so you're sitting there, you're waiting for your food. You ordered, you know, not to say ice because the robots will run out of the restaurant. So you order it without any ice. So you've got your, like, iceless beverage there, Dr. Pepper. And then when they bring the tacos back, you realize, wait a second, what's that green stuff? Because it's not Salsa Verde.
You're bringing up a lot of good points here.
Right? I mean, you could put it into the whole DNA of the robot there.
You can, like, store a little bit of, like, water / spit into the valve there.
If you really You could. You could.
But would they really go that far? Would they do that?
Yes. I saw Terminator. They want to enslave all of us.
Well, then if you refuse, he might, you know, whip out his arm gun.
So I do I'd like Dan's idea, though. It needs to be government regulated. We can come up with a brand new, we can call it DHS, the Department of Humanoid Security. And they can govern all the robots.
I just think the mommy robots need to raise the kid robots a little bit better.
You think so?
That's what it is.
Bad parenting.
No federal government involved.
Golly. Will the robots live in government housing?
No.
Oh, they just plug into the wall somewhere.
We're going to start paying them.
They don't even need to. Well, look, they won't even need to leave the restaurant, right? You can just plug them in at the end of the shift.
It's true.
They don't require a lot of TLC. I'm just saying. All right, 901-260-5926. Thank you for that, Dan. I really appreciate it. That's 901-260-5926. So, look, there is just an awful story in Chicago involving a Loyola University, University of Loyola student who was killed. 18 years old. Her name is Sheridan Gorman. Lovely young lady. She was walking in a park with her friends. It was about 1 o'clock in the morning. You know, college kids, they're out late having a good time. A man by the name of Medina is, his name is Jose Medina Medina. He's a Venezuelan criminal illegal alien. He approached her wearing a mask and armed with a gun. This is all coming from Homeland Security's account of what happened. She attempted to flee, and then he fired his gun and shot her. Gorman was shot and pronounced dead at the scene. Now, this is where it gets very disgusting. In May of 2023, Medina Medina was actually apprehended by the Biden Border Patrol and was released. So he was trying to get into the country, and Biden released this man into the country. Something else happened, so he was again released in June of that year after he was arrested for shoplifting in Chicago. According to Homeland Security, Sheridan Gorman had her whole life ahead of her before this cold-blooded killer decided to end her life. She was failed by open border policies and sanctuary politicians who released this illegal alien twice before he went on to commit this heinous murder. So now you've got Homeland Security calling on Governor J.B. Pritzker, the Democrat, and the mayor, Mayor Brandon Johnson, a Democrat, to stop releasing criminal illegal aliens into American neighborhoods. The ICE director, Todd Lyons, sent a letter to the Attorney General of Illinois, Kwame Raoul, calling on him to put the safety of Americans first and honor ICE arrest detainers of the more than 4,000 criminal illegals in the state custody of Illinois. And by the way, we're talking about murderers, sexual predators, people convicted of or charged with weapon violations. But again, when you listen to Senator Chris Murphy, quote, the people that we care about most are the undocumented migrants. Well, look, a Chicago alderwoman, her name is Maria Haddon, and she was asked to weigh in all of this, and she said, really, the illegal alien is the real victim here, and maybe, just maybe, the young lady is to blame for her death. I am not making this up. Let's take a listen.
All the time, right? And they go out on the pier, they walk around. So the kids were out doing normal things people do in the neighborhood. And it sounds like this might have been a wrong place, wrong time, running into a person who had a gun. They might have startled this person at the end of the pier unintentionally.
So she's saying that this was unintentional, that these girls were just out there and they startled the illegal, and that's why they were shot dead. So Chicago Mayor Johnson was asked about all of this today and given the opportunity to apologize to this poor young lady's family. Take a listen to Cut 11.
We're going to continue to pray for those victims.
Will you take this opportunity to apologize to Sheridan's parents for the policies that you promoted that would directly caused her death? That suspect would not be in the city, would not be in the country, but for your policies. Will you take this opportunity to apologize?
Well, again, I believe
Sheridan's
that we're all grieving the loss of Sheridan and other folks who have lost their lives because of senseless violence. And let's just be very clear, between the Safety Act and the Welcoming City Ordinance, Welcome to City ordinance was passed 40 years ago by the first black mayor in the history of Chicago, and the Safety Act was passed under the governor, that time who was a Republican, Governor Rauner. Thank you for your questions.
So you will not apologize to Sheridan's parents.
Hi, Mayor.
No apologies. You have nothing to say to them.
No apologies. No apologies whatsoever. That's the mayor of Chicago, who, by the way, went on to say this about putting people in jail. Take a listen.
We cannot incarcerate our way out of violence. We've already tried that. It is racist, it is immoral, it is unholy, and it is not the way to drive violence down.
Yeah. So the mayor is now saying that putting people in jail is somehow racist. And I would love for the mayor to extrapolate on that and explain why exactly it is racist to put somebody in jail for committing a crime. Now, there are some very radical people out there, and they actually believe that we should only be arresting people based upon their percentage of the overall population. So let's just say if 70%, let's just say 70%, I'm just making these numbers up. So I this is for all of the leftists that are sitting in the basements monitoring the phone with the Cheeto-stained fingers, all right? So this is all just conjecture here. Let's say 70% of the population is white. Therefore, 70% of the population in prisons should be white. You say, well, wait a second. What if 70% of the population doesn't commit crimes? What if 70% of the criminal population is not white? It doesn't matter. So let's just say, for the argument, 10% of the population is black, and you could have no more than 10% of your prison population be black. You say, well, wait a second. What if the crime is committed at a disproportionate number among minorities, like blacks, for example? Are you telling me that, say, let's say that 25% of the crimes are committed by black people? Are you telling me that we can only have 10% of those people in jail? Yes, there are people that literally believe that. And that, so for example, if in fact you've got 25% of the criminals that are black and you put all 25% in prison, therefore that makes you a racist. That's what they believe. I mean, it's insane. And now you have people out there suggesting that really there are no such things as criminals, because the only reason people commit crimes is, number one, they have access to a gun, and number two, they are poor. So they would have you believe that poor people are the people out there committing crimes. I'm just going to say that's a load of hooey. First of all, just because you were poor does not mean that you're a criminal or that you are prone to committing criminal activity. As a matter of fact, I would contend that being poor or impoverished makes you more likely to be a law-abiding citizen. And you say, Todd, why would you say that? Because most of the poor people in this nation are, in fact, people who go to church. They are Christians. They're doing their part. They work hard. And for whatever reason, they can't get ahead in life. But they go to church. They're moral. They're good, decent people. The left would have you believe, the Democrats would have you believe, that all poor people, you know, are just, you know, they don't take care of their homes, or they live in trailer parks, and they don't wash their clothes, and they don't feed their kids. That's all untrue. It's all untrue. Matter of fact, if you take a look at the criminal element out there, and I'll just say this because we have a front row view to all of this in Memphis, where over the weekend, a seven-year-old boy with $2 $5 bills in his pocket was walking home from the park in broad daylight, a seven-year-old, and he was robbed at gunpoint by a 14-year-old. So we've got a front row view to all of this here in Memphis. Dylan, most of the criminal thugs I see, the ones that are out there running from the cops, the popo, you know what? They're driving brand new Dodge Chargers. They're not doing the donuts with the Toyota Corollas. They're doing the donuts with the high dollar vehicles that are all souped up. They got the rims. A lot of money goes into those cars. They're wearing the finest clothes out there from City Gear. They're wearing the high-dollar shoes. These are not poor people we're talking about here. I'm just want to point that out here. So before you get off on this only poor people, that's a load of hooey. Got to take a break. 901-260-5926, our number. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Brandon, Statesville, North Carolina, WSIC. Brandon, what's on your mind today?
Hey, good afternoon, Todd. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to talk about the crime and demographic statistics that you were just talking about a few minutes ago. You know, the leftists love to live in this fantasy world where everything's fair and everything's equal. But the fact of the matter is it has nothing to do with fair and equal. It has to do with the American family and the American values have been under attack for decades. And, you know, Charlie Kirk used to speak about it a lot, that fatherlessness is a huge problem in the United States. And I think that's the primary issue that we're seeing in these communities with high crime. The family is falling apart, and it's taken an impact, you know, generation after generation. It's just getting worse and worse.
Well, yeah. Well, there's no doubt about that. And look, here's the deal. If you've got, and the problem is, we're not addressing the problem directly head on here. That's the problem. For example, if you got a bunch of white people and they're out there rioting and they're burning down Beale Street, then I'm calling out white parents, white moms and dads. No doubt about that. As a matter of fact, we've done that on this program when it comes to school shootings. You know, up until the past couple of years, it was mostly white dudes committing those crimes. So I got no problem with that. But the reality is, when you look at all of the problems facing America's young people, I think by and large, it has everything to do with the fact that there's not a mom and a dad in the household. I think that's the bigger problem. Or you've got parents that simply don't want to parent their kids.
I absolutely agree with you, Todd. I think taking the moms out of the household, you know, having dual-income households, like as much as people might need that economically, there is a real cultural loss when there's not a steady parent around.
Gotta leave it there, Brandon. We are late for a break. We'll be right back, everybody. Right, heading to Dallas to speak at CPAC. I'm not quite sure when. We haven't gotten the time yet, so it could be tomorrow, which means I'm going to have to catch an early flight. But we'll let you know when we're going to be down there. Hope to see a lot of you folks down at CPAC in Dallas. I think they're going to be having it over at the Gaylord Texan, which is a really, really nice facility, and it's much more manageable than the Grand Ole Opry there in Nashville. I want to go to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Say hello to the congressman from Tennessee, our good friend, Congressman Matt Van Epps. Congressman, I hope you're doing well. Great to have you on the show today.
Hey, Todd, thank you so much for having me on, having a great day, and what an incredible day yesterday was.
You know, it was pretty spectacular. Of course, most of the Tennessee congressional delegation was there with President Trump at the big Make America Safe Again roundtable. And I understand, before we jump into it, I understand that you and the other lawmakers were actually invited to join the president and fly in from Mar-a-Lago.
There was a couple that came in from Mar-a-Lago. I actually joined in Memphis and flew with the president back to D.C. And Todd, let me tell you, what a just pinch me moment. Just incredible. We got on Air Force One before the president. He went out and toured Graceland. And was a great tour and just really enjoyed it. But we got on before he got on. We did take a lot of pictures, but they gave us a tour of the full plane. So we got to see the press area where staff is, and the president's office and his quarters. And then we got to talk to the pilots. It was, you know, for somebody that was a helicopter pilot in the Army and just an aviation enthusiast, it was a very cool moment for me, and one I will absolutely never forget.
Was that your first time on the Air Force One?
First time on Air Force One, And you know, and so we were. They put us in. They put the delegation in the president's part of the plane, but it was in the conference room, and then where senior staff is. And so they, you know, it was really nice. They had lunch ready for us, and right as we had sat down, you know, they announced, hey, the president will be here in 5 minutes, and then the president is boarding. And as we were taking off, president came into the conference room. And he sat down with us, and we just talked for a good while. And then I think he had some other business to do and went back to his office. And then it was just that part of it was really cool. And then he also had us come back into his office and talk to him there too. I mean, just a very cool experience.
Well, so I'm curious about the meal here, Congressman, because I fly. Yeah. I fly first class on Delta a lot, and we're lucky to get the biscuit cookies there. What was lunch like for you guys? Did they roll out the red carpet?
They sure did. And let me tell you, as an Army guy, sometimes it's hard for me to talk favorably about my Air Force colleagues. But listen, the Air Force is amazing, and Air Force One is incredible. They had a really nice kind of box lunch ready for us with really good food, and brought us some Diet Cokes and just took care of us. You know, they had the presidential M&Ms too. So I took a couple of boxes of those, one for my daughter and to hang on to one. So just a really good, I mean, just world-class folks. The Air Force were so kind. President's staff was so kind, and they just got us settled, and was a really special time.
You see, I was begging to hitch a ride, but they said it was full. So I got bumped because of you guys, Congressman. Thank you for that. Really appreciate
Hopefully
it.
Hopefully next time, Todd.
Yeah. By the way, I'm just curious. So how long was the TSA wait line for you to get on board Air Force One?
Well, our wait was like the wait that everyone should have. Because we were direct onto the plane, and the Secret Service and the Air Force One folks made it really easy for us, and that's what we should have. The Democrats need to fund DHS, and that's a whole separate topic. But they were very accommodating for us and got us through quick.
Well, no, I'm glad to hear that, and I do want to get to Memphis in just a moment. But on that issue, the fact of the matter is, ICE, you know, the president dispatched ICE to, what, 14 airports around the country. And as our understanding, wait lines have all but disappeared. But again, they wouldn't have to be there if the Democrats would just fund Homeland Security.
That's right. You know, and this president, he's a leader, and he sees these creative solutions. And, hey, let's deploy. It was his idea. Let's deploy the ICE and Border Patrol to help with the screening part, but with security around the airport, so that more TSA personnel can do the screening and focus on that part of the mission that is critically important. And you know, the president sees these solutions, but he shouldn't have to do that, because we have obstructionist Democrats who are putting illegal aliens in front of the safety of America, and that's unacceptable. They have got to fund Homeland Security at the full amount. And ensure that all of these folks who are not getting paid right now, that are protecting our homeland, who are just great professionals, get the paychecks that they deserve, because they have very important jobs keeping our country safe.
Mm. Congressman Matt Van Epps from Tennessee joining us today on the show. You know, Congressman, back to Memphis. I'm just curious to hear your overall thoughts about how quickly things have changed for the better in the what was once the largest city in Tennessee.
Well, in Memphis is just an amazing city, and with rich history and great culture, and it's a wonderful place. But as you've noted, it had the highest in 2024 had the highest rate of violent crime per capita, with elevated rates for murder and robbery, aggravated assault, property crime, you name it. And just in the last 6 months, with the Memphis Safe Task Force going into place, and we're talking about 22 federal agencies, state and local police, 1,500 members of just the incredible National Guard, we've seen just historic drops in crime, 27% decrease in overall, 26% decrease in murders, 48% decrease in carjackings. The numbers go on. And I think the other statistic that was talked about yesterday at the event is that crime is at a 120-year low because of this collaborative effort led by the president, supported by Governor Lee, and all of these just amazing law enforcement professionals. And Todd, I mean, we were there together, and to see just the crowd of those law enforcement professionals, the outpouring of support, all of the people that are working to make America safe again, to make Memphis safe again. I mean, it was humbling and incredible to see, and I'm just so glad to play a very little part in that.
You know, it's interesting. The mayor of Memphis was not there. The police chief of Memphis was not there. The county mayor, all Democrats, by the way, were not there. And it just seems to me that if nothing else, they ought to be thanking President Trump, because they've gotten over 7,000 very dangerous people off the streets. They found just well over 100 kids that have been missing. I don't understand why people are out there protesting when they ought to be celebrating and thanking the president for what he did.
Absolutely. I mean, this is a president who means what he says, who sees these hard problems that have not had solutions before, and he takes a very smart and creative approach to getting this done. It started in D.C., and what was a very great operation in D.C. was replicated. And Memphis is such a good example of the National Guard, the Memphis Police Department, ICE, CBP, ATF, DEA, Homeland Security, the Marshals, Tennessee Highway Patrol. The list goes on of these professionals who have come together to solve this really hard problem, and they're continuing to solve it today. And I think this president deserves so much credit in driving this solution, not just here, but I think the other thing is, very importantly, this is a framework example for what we can do across the country, success that's happening elsewhere in the country. It's something, as I sit on the Homeland Security Committee, that I've brought up and talked about just as a great example of the Memphis Safe Task Force being that element and that team that provides an example for how we can operate across the country.
I just think that's terrific. Well, Congressman, it's just an honor to have you on the show. Great to see you yesterday in the crowd. That was a lot of fun. Great to see, you know, all sorts of folks here you don't normally see, kind of like a family reunion.
It was a great family reunion, and Todd, so good to see you. Really appreciate being on today, and just very grateful for all the work that you do.
All right, Congressman Matt Van Epps from Tennessee, everybody. We'll get him back on very soon. Congressman, thank you, and again, they got they roll out the red carpet for folks on Air Force One. But Dylan, I want my peanuts. I want my presidential M&Ms. That's what I want.
They sound pretty good.
They're very tasty. From what I hear, I'll tell you, the presidential chocolate chip cookie was mighty nice.
I remember that you got one of those. And you tried to get more, didn't you?
No, I didn't try.
You did.
I did.
You did. They didn't confiscate them.
No. But the president was in a very good mood yesterday when we chat. I mean, it was very brief. They only had like five people back there. Normally they do a big photo line, and it was like five people and then me. And so they brought me in, we took a photo, and then we chatted for about 90 seconds. So you can get whatever you can with getting that much time with the president, the leader of the free world, when we're, you know, trying to blow up Iran. Hey, I'm not going to quibble.
That's a lot of pressure. Like, what do you have to like think about what you're going to say like way ahead of time?
Oh yeah. Well, I just said, I told him, I said, man, God bless you. I told him, I said, God bless you, Mr. President. You saved our city.
Yeah.
And he was like, man, it was bad, wasn't it? I'm like, yes, it was bad. And then he told me a story, and I'm like, okay. And then the person came in and like, Mr. President, we got to go. Literally, I was holding up the entire event at that time. So
that's pretty cool, though.
Then Pam Bondi, we kind of like bonded.
Yeah.
So we
Pam bonded.
Yeah, Pam bonded. Sorry. With Bondi. Sorry. Yeah, she sold me pictures. I guess she was at the they had a big baby shower for Caroline Leavitt over the weekend, and I believe it was in Washington, and showed me pictures. Great. Looks like they had a great time.
You guys are, it sounds like you're like best friends.
BFFs. She pulled me aside. I was talking to the U.S. attorney. She was like, guys, they need to talk to Stearns for a second. I'm like, oh, wow. All right. Then she told me some stuff off the record that I can't repeat.
Wow.
I know.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. But I will say this. They listen. They listen to this show. I'm just telling you. This crazy story, before we go to break, are you familiar with Jim Brewer? Saturday Night Live.
I'm not.
He's one of their comedians. He's a funny guy, actually. So he and his wife, he wanted to treat his wife to a vacation in Hawaii. So he booked first-class tickets. And let me just say something. If you're going to Hawaii, that is like a six-hour trip. If you can't go first class, don't go, because it is a long, miserable journey. And so he and his wife, he bought first-class tickets, thousands of dollars. And so they're getting settled in their seats. This is American Airlines. And Dylan, they're getting settled, and they had already pre-ordered all their meals. And I will tell you this, the meals are actually really good, these, you know, in first class. You know, we like to poke fun, but they're really good, especially on the long-haul flights. And this was a long-haul flight. So anyway, they sit down, and then the flight attendant comes over and he goes, oh, you're going to have to give up your seats. And they're like, wait, what? And so he and his wife were told that there were two pilots, American Airlines pilots, that were deadheading. So they had to ride on the flight. And there's an American Airlines rule that the pilots are only allowed to fly first class. So Jim Brewer and his wife got booted back to like the middle seats. It's like one of the big jetliners. And they had to sit in the middle seats. It was terrible. So anyway, he goes off about this and he was like, this is nuts, because they didn't give him a refund. They gave him additional first class seats to wherever they could go. And the guy was like, dude, I'm taking my wife to Hawaii. This is a special moment. It's not like I'm going to fly to Hawaii again. And so they gave him a $500 voucher. Unbelievable. And so people, you know, he's really upset. He went online and again, this is a Saturday Night Live star. They're treating like this, and did a video. It went viral. Thousands of people are jumping in and they're saying, what is going on here? And the problem is it's like going through a maze to try and get your $10,000 refund, because that's how much $10,000 those tickets were. So it's not like chump change. I mean, that's a lot of money. I don't care who you are. So according to American Airlines, they only give refunds for bag fees, pet fees, priority boarding, same-day flight change, or an unaccompanied minor fee. So if you spend $10,000 on an airline ticket and then there's a pilot on board, he gets your seat and you don't get a refund. Unbelievable. So then Mr. Brewer said that he contacted the Department of Transportation, finally heard from somebody, and he said, look, this is not how a paying customer should have to deal with this. And this guy's like a TV star. Can you imagine just regular Joes? I'm just telling you, this is one of the reasons why people just hate flying, you know, that and having to stand in line for 4 hours. All right, got to take a break. This is the Tom Stern Show. All right, welcome back. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. This is interesting. There is an interview, and we'll play this tomorrow. We'll get this audio on tomorrow's show. There were three Belgian radio hosts, and they're generating a lot of controversy because they did a video segment, where they actually destroyed statues of Jesus Christ and also, I believe, Mary. And they're all giggling about it. It's a video. They took baseball bats and they literally destroyed these statues. So anyway, they're doing an interview and they're explaining why. And they're saying, well, you know, Belgium is not really all that much of a religious country. So we thought it was kind of funny. And I think it generated enough controversy to where they realized, oh, we better come up with a good excuse. And they said, well, the statues were already broken. And so we just, you know, finished the job. So then the host, and this is a brilliant question, the host said, well, wait a second, would you have destroyed those statues if they would have been of the Prophet Muhammad? And that's when they all turned white as a ghost, which is pretty white if you're Belgian. And they're like, oh, well, you know, we would never even think about doing something like that. And here's the quote. When asked if they would destroy Islamic symbols, they say, no, that would be inappropriate because there are lots of Muslims living in Belgium. You see what I mean? So they're all giggly. I mean, they were literally giggling and laughing about, you know, destroying the statues of Jesus Christ. But when it came time to even asking the question, they just freaked out. I mean, they got scared just of the question being asked. Going back to what we talked about in the first hour of the program. All right. Hey, look, folks, want to remind you today is the day. Go and pre-order a copy of my new book. It's called The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. I want you to get a copy of this book. Pre-order it today. Barnes & Noble, we're encouraging a lot of folks, go to Barnes & Noble, pre-order at Barnes & Noble. You can also get it on Amazon. They're all the same price right now, so it's not really going to make much of a difference. But we do want you just for, we're trying to hit that New York Times bestseller list, and Barnes & Noble is the place we want you to go to get yourself a copy of the book, The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. Speaker Mike Johnson writing the foreword. We have a who's who of people endorsing this book project. So I hope that you will get a copy and get one for your son, daughter, college kid. Get them a copy of the book as well. All right, it's been a lot of fun, everybody. Again, thank you to Andy Hoosier for filling in yesterday. We're back at it again tomorrow right here on the Todd Stearns Radio Show.